Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fidget Friday. My name is Heather Parody. I'm your host, and this is a just solo round with me and you for about 10 minutes where I just talk to you about all the crap going on in my life. No, not crap, just things I'm working through mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and all that on the way to building something great. We can talk about tactics and all this stuff as a quote entrepreneur or whatever. But there's so much underlying stuff to building anything. You have to overcome so much mental blocks and spiritual blocks, etc. And I'm realizing how much of that is actually a part of this journey, and it's not all just how-to and tactical. So hopefully on Fidget Friday, I can just be super transparent with you about my journey and leveling up to the next level and what I want to create and what I feel called to do. And I've been thinking about this term, designing your life, for a minute. I think it's coming up over in a lot of different podcasts. I've been reading this book. I've been reading it for a minute. It's The Pirate at the Party, The Only Pirate at the Party. That's it, from Lindsay Sterling. And I think she is an incredible example of this idea of creating a life or designing a life. Now, I wasn't originally a Lindsay Sterling fan. In fact, the only reason I even knew about her was because a dear friend of ours, Blake, which, side note, I don't think Blake listens to this podcast, which is great because I'm totally about to out him in front of all these different people who listen around the world. But Blake has a huge crush on Lindsay Sterling. Like, he's in love with her. In love. Now, okay, he's not really in love with her, because I asked him once, I said, Blake, if Lindsay Sterling was like, "What up, Blake? Would you marry her?" And he said no. And you know why? Because she goes on tour and he doesn't want a lifestyle of traveling. Isn't he crazy? I mean, I'd marry Lindsay Sterling because of travel. I'm married. I love my husband. Anyway, I think he's crazy. But the point is, I only knew about Lindsay Sterling because of Blake. So I went to a conference, the Summit of Greatness, last year. I go every year. I'll be there this year. Holla if you're going. And Lindsay Sterling, I saw, was on the speaker list. So I was super excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, Blake is going to lose his freaking mind. I didn't do any of the speaker lines to go meet the speakers. I just didn't do that. But I did go in the speaker line to meet Lindsay Sterling just because I wanted to get a selfie with her, send it to Blake, and torture him for the day. So the entire intention when I saw Lindsay Sterling's name on that agenda was to just torture my friend Blake, right? But then she got up and spoke, and I just fell in love with her. Now, I had never heard her music, didn't even know what the girl looked like, nothing. But I absolutely fell in love with her. And it wasn't because of the violin. That was really cool. What was really cool about her to me is how, and I mentioned this in a previous episode when I recapped the Summit of Greatness, I'll link that in the show notes, but she was incredibly free. Just so free, so expressive. Like, she just embodied this freedom. And she was in her early, or she is in her early 30s. In fact, she's only a few days older than me. And I immediately just felt so drawn to her because I was like, that's what I want to express in my life, but feel so trapped and limited because of all that limitations I put in my head. Like, Heather, you're too old for this. Or Heather, that's not mature. Or Heather, you need to be more professional and all this stuff. And Lindsay's like, suck it, people, and dances around, you know, doing hip hop on a violin. And she just is her and people love it. And she's making an impact in this world through it. And so I became a fan of hers really just because of that freedom she embodied. And it was something I really admire and respect from her. But anyway, I picked up her book, got the selfie, tortured Blake. It was amazing. Going through the book, it's taking me just now to finish it because I put it down for a long time. But in the book, The Only Pirate at the Party, that's linked up in the show notes. You need to pick up a copy. It's really funny. It's a very funny book. But she talks about just this life she's designed, and she didn't use that terminology, but think about it. Early 30s. Traveling the world, playing the violin, doing hip-hop dances. She designs her own costumes, so she's also a designer. She edits the films on YouTube. I don't know if you know that, but she's very particular about the way the films are edited. So she's an editor. She's doing all this creative work that she loves. Now, she originally was told that she sucks. She was on America's Got Talent, and she got voted off, and the judges totally bashed her and devastated her. She cried in the bathroom for hours and had to scrape herself off the floor. But a few months later, she started a YouTube channel and, long story short, grew her own audience, built her own life, and designed her own life. She took that rejection as fuel and did her own thing. She didn't say, hey, I'm waiting on permission to do X. I'm waiting on this golden ticket. I'm waiting on, you know, winning this competition. Screw that. Hello, YouTube. What's up? I'm going to do this on my own. And I love that. I love that. And so finishing our book, it's reminding me again, you know, how can we create, how can we design a life for ourselves in the midst of rejection, in the midst of not making sense, in the midst of and not being, quote, logical. I was just talking to my friend on the phone yesterday, and we were just talking about dreams and visions and like, oh, well, what if this and what if that? And often we think, oh, that's just too much. Oh, that could never happen. Oh, this, oh, that. Why not? Why not you? Why not you? Why can't you make that next movie? Why can't you write that next book? Why can you not start that organization? Why can you not start that? Why not? Every person you admire and you look up to, when you read their life, they were just a normal freaking human who was stubborn as hell and made crap happen. Literally. They had the courage and the guts to just put pen and paper and make stuff happen. And a lot of it didn't work. And then it didn't work. And then it didn't work. And it didn't work. And years and years and years later, after just holding in and holding on, it did. And that was it. How can you and I create that audacity, that courage, that grit in our own lives? And you're like, you know what? This crazy idea that keeps coming back in my mind, side note, I think that's an indication of something. It's there for a reason. So, of course, I did the best thing you could ever do when you're wondering about a subject. I Googled it, living a life by design. And I found this article by Inc. that had 5 points that I thought were pretty basic, but really good. And I just wanted to share them with you. I'll link that up in the show notes as well. I think this is from Nicholas Cole, who wrote this article. But number one, it says, write down your chief aim. What do you want? Are you embarrassed to even say? I know we had mastermind groups for years in our home, and we had these people come to our house and just share their dreams and their vision. And many of them just cried because it was the first time they even admitted it out loud, and they felt stupid. They felt like, who am I to do this? But why not write it down? Write down in full length what you want to create and what you want to do. Napoleon Hill talks a lot about this definiteness of purpose, and that you have to have that clear, crystal clear vision, owning it, seeing it, feeling it. Number two, surround yourself with people you want to be like. Do not be around people who think you're silly or you're dumb or this doesn't make sense. I want you to be around people that when you say, hey, y'all, I want to do this, they're like, hell yeah, do it. Absolutely, go for it. Run after it. I want them to stand on a table and dance when you say, this is your vision, this is your dream. And I'm telling you, those people are out there. There are other crazy visionaries out there who will celebrate the thing that you see and who will acknowledge that and pour life over it. You know, if you, there's obviously people there to sharpen you. And I need people in my life who are detail oriented and who think things through and help me see the other sides, because that's not my gift. I need that in my life. But there's a difference between pointing out logistics in effort to propel your vision and to see your vision through life versus showing you all the things that aren't going to work and beating it down. There's a huge difference. And you're going to know that difference around with energy. What is the energy in which this is said? If you're around someone who is pointing things out and saying, well, hey, so-and-so, what about this? What about that? But you still leave feeling excited and empowered about your vision, that's different than someone saying, well, what about this? And you leave and you're like, you feel defeated and you feel like this isn't going to happen. Surround yourself with people who pour life over your dream. Number three, set goals and actually achieve them. We've written that vision down. We made that declaration. What is that next step ahead of you? What is that first step to designing your own life? Sometimes we see the goal way, way, way far ahead and we're like, holy crap, it's going to take me forever to get there. But getting very, very still and present and just asking, saying, God, what is this next step in front of me? Show it to me. What is that next step? He is faithful with the little, can be trusted with a lot. If you take that tiny, tiny step, that next one's going to be revealed. And then when you take that step, that next one's going to be revealed. And we have to trust that there's something greater guiding us and that we have a clear vision, but we're also faithful with that small, tiny, seemingly insignificant step that's right here today for us to take. Number four, don't be afraid to go your own way. Again, this is from Inc.com, this article from Nicholas Cole. Number four, don't be afraid to go your own way. Every person who's done great things is a little crazy. They're a little crazy. You have to be. You have to be to see something that doesn't exist and see it as if it did. You have to be a little crazy to think that imperfect people can come together and make an impact in this world. You have to be a little crazy to know your disadvantages and, quote, disqualifications and see them as strengths. Every leader was a little, quote, crazy, or the world saw them as crazy. They had adversity. They went against the grain. They were different. They were unconventional. That's what made them leaders. That's what made them visionaries. That's what made them influencers. Don't be afraid to go your own way, because that's what's required. And number five, you have to practice discipline. And I absolutely love this, because a lot of this is so unsexy. It's having the vision and stepping into that and feeling that is exciting. But then when you get into the nitty gritty, you know, I love nitty gritty. I always think of Nacho Libre, the nitty gritty. But all of those small daily stuff of getting up and meditating and taking a moment and setting attention and eating right and taking care of yourself and keeping your mind and your spirit and your heart aligned with the vision and pouring into that. That is routine and discipline, and it takes a little bit of it takes a lot of focus and intention to step into that lifestyle. You're not going to, you know, see this vision and declare that you're going to be this influencer leader and then go lay on the couch and eat Doritos and spend your life watching Netflix. Of course, there's a time and a place for rest, but we have to level up as leaders and become that person before we see that person. I've been thinking a lot about the Heather I know I'm called to be, that Heather Parody. I see her, I have this vision of her and who she is and, you know, how healthy she is and how confident she is and the things that she's creating and manifesting in her life and the impact that she's making and the lives that she's touching and the stuff that she wants to build. And I see her, and I physically, I'm not her yet, but I am starting to feel her and see her and step into that. And again, that takes a little crazy, but do you see that future self that you want to be and that you feel called to be? You may not see it physically yet in the mirror, but you have to know that that has already happened. And what we have to do, you know, God has already put that in place. God has already set that intention and created you, and that's your calling and your purpose. And our only part is to feel that, see that, step into that before the rest of the world does. It's already happened. It has already happened. That's already who you are. That is already your destiny. That is already your calling. See it. See it. That definiteness of purpose. I wanted to end this with a couple of quotes that I absolutely love. The first one is from Jim Rohn, and I actually have like a 5-foot canvas on my wall in my office that says this. It says, if you don't design your own life plan, chances are you'll fall into someone else's plan. And guess what they have planned for you? Not much. Not because they're rude, not because they're hateful, just because they're thinking about their own life. We sit around waiting on this permission slip, this person of authority, this person to give us permission to be who we were created to be. And you do not need permission. Unless you are a surgeon operating on my brain, you don't need a certificate, dude. You know, like, think about it. Unless you need a license to do what you feel called to do, go get that license, follow the law. But what I'm saying is most of this stuff is all in our own heads, that we need this affirmation and validation, and we need somebody to come in and show us the way. You have the answers inside of you. We've got to get quiet and intentional and say, you know what? If this is going to come to pass, it's going to be created through me. And I know that God has already given me permission because he's put this calling on my life. The other quote I wanted to read is from Bradley Whitford, which is actor, and he said, infuse your life with action. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Make your own future. Make your own hope. Make your own love. And whatever your beliefs, honor your creator, not by passively waiting for grace to come down upon high, but by doing what you can make, but by doing what you can to make grace happen. yourself right now, right down here on earth. You know, the religious folk, they say, oh, well, God willing. You know what? God wills it. If you read anything about Jesus, he said, go. He said, do. He said, create. And yes, there are times that the universe, that your intuition will say, stop, be still. That will happen. But we think the default is stop, be still, when really the default is create. Create, create, man. Be free. Go, do, be. You don't need permission to go. You have permission. Go, go, go. Live your life by design. Create your life. Be a co-author. I absolutely love this subject. I've been eating it up lately. What up to Lindsay Sterling for being an awesome example of stepping into that through her YouTube channel and creating this life herself. One day me and her are going to kick it. Mark my words. What is this? 7/19/2019. I'm coming for you, Lindsay. You're my boo. All right, I love you guys. I'm in your corner. Have an awesome weekend, and I'll see you Monday.